Hi, my name's Ed Renane. I'm a Safeguarding Adults Manager with Derbyshire Clinical Commissioning Groups. We are doing a series of podcasts, and today we're going to be looking at domestic abuse. And we're very, very lucky to have with us a worker from one of the agencies working in Derbyshire. So without further ado, I'd ask Warren to introduce himself.
Hi, I'm Warren Hayward. I'm from Derbyshire Domestic Violence and Sexual Abuse Service, and I'm the Domestic Abuse Health Trainer for the Derbyshire area, for the county.
We said earlier that it's difficult for people to know what the future holds, because you never know what's around the corner, who you're going to meet in any potential relationship. What makes someone more at risk of entering into a violent or abusive relationship?
Well, I mean, anyone can enter into a negative or an abusive relationship, because it's not always obvious at the start. It's, you know, abusers generally, they aren't, you know, they wear masks, everybody, you know, it may not be seen to start with. So it's almost, and people can feel judged, or that it's their fault when it does eventually happen, because it's almost hindsight of why didn't I see the signs earlier? Because it's sometimes very subtle. Like I say, if you trust somebody, saying, if you trusted me, you'd let me have the passwords to all of your social media, or you wouldn't have all these people of the opposite sex or the same sex, depending on the relationship, obviously, on Facebook if you had me, you know, it just wouldn't happen. And sometimes people don't know what a healthy relationship is. And as I say, if it's family members, it's, anybody can have a difficult relationship with a family member, and sometimes they may not see it. You know, it's, well, this is my mother, my father, my son, my adult son, you know, I'd do anything to protect them, and it just escalates. And as we've said, you know, we don't choose who we love sometimes. It just kind of develops, and it's just, it becomes your relationship. But as I say, some people don't know what a healthy relationship is.
I mean, I think it's really difficult to do, as you say, but a colleague of mine was telling me that she met somebody online, but she's got a couple of kids. So she checked, is it Claire's Law? You can do some checking to see if a person was a perpetrator in the past, or is on this list.
You can. You can have a right to know and right to ask, as they're referred to. And, you can contact the police and ask for any kind of information regarding violence or domestic abuse to be shared with you. So you can find out more about what you're getting
into. If there's a fear, or there's an inkling, or you think or suspect something, that is a possibility. There's no guarantee that person will be on that list.
No, absolutely.
You know, that might be one way of just eliminating your fear, or trying to put some fear aside.
I mean, like you said, that can help, and it can kind of help people learn more, because again, sometimes when I've supported somebody and we talk about whether their partner, the perpetrator, or the has been abusive to people in the past, be it a family member or in somebody from a previous relationship, they always kind of, once the relationship's ended, they'll say, well, my partner said that all their exes were psychos, or they were the ones that were unhinged, but now they're starting to question it. And someone's like, okay, because they're obviously the perpetrator. The perpetrator's going to say, well, no, it was nothing to do with me. It was actually my, it was my partner who was the, you know, one that was wrong or unhealthy in this relationship. So getting it from somebody else, from the professionals, obviously can help, as long as they are on that, obviously. Because if it's early in a relationship, or they've never been reported, then obviously the potential is nothing will come up. Going back to the what makes somebody more at risk of entering into a relationship, you know, addiction can obviously be a factor. We speak to lots of people who are struggling with alcohol, and that can affect obviously their ability to leave, or their ability to cope with what's happening. You know, sometimes people will take it to almost numb the pain. And I've had a number of clients who've struggled with ending their relationships, and even when we've supported them around having extra security or changing the locks in their homes, etc., they'll still let the abuser or someone back into their lives if they bring them the drugs or the alcohol. Because I had somebody I worked with, and she'd always let the abuser back in if he came to the door with a bottle of vodka. That was all he needed. So that was always difficult for her, and she was always very regretful after, but it's just, you know, the addiction was making it more difficult. And as I've said, you know, domestic abuse does have the highest rate of reoffending, and not necessarily with the same partner. Some people may enter back into a relationship, as I say, with the same abusive partner, or they may have a string of abusive relationships with several different people. And I've worked with people who've been in, say, a physically abusive relationship, and they'll focus on that. They'll vow, I am never getting into a relationship that's physically abusive ever again, because I'll recognise the signs of somebody being physically abusive. But then they've missed the other forms of abuse. They've then entered into a relationship that is much more emotionally abusive or financially abusive. And I cannot emphasise enough the impact of financial abuse and the other forms of abuse.
Right.
People think, well, that's not too bad. It is. It can have a huge impact, not being able to afford to go anywhere or any choices of your own. And there was one lady, she was allowed, a small amount of money a year to buy clothes. Mm. And that was all she was allowed.
Yeah. Well, I remember hearing a story about a lady who actually was able to leave her perpetrator after 3 years of saving money.
Mm.
And she saved £100 to get a rail ticket. It took her 3 years to save £100.
Mm. Yeah, because I imagine the scrutiny she would have been under can be pretty, unreal sometimes,
yeah.
I think. I mean, I had because I'm obviously a counsellor, a qualified counsellor as well, and I had a lady, because we don't, when I did it, it was a donation. You could just donate money to access it. Or you didn't have to either. But she was shaking over. She wanted to give £1 to show how much it meant to her, but she couldn't because of the level of scrutiny that she was under. She was just stating, he will know that I've not got this £1 now. That's
right.
Yeah. And I've obviously had, a male victim who... she didn't, and all money went into her account. He had no money of his own. He was the one working, but he saw none of that.
Right, okay.
Yeah. And at times, abusers will single out vulnerable people and people that are more susceptible to being manipulated, mm-hmm. be it because of addiction or mental health.
Right.
Sometimes they will single people out
for
that, because they're a lot more easy to control.
Yeah, okay. What can we do within the NHS to prevent this? So what can staff do?
Just be mindful of the patients that you're seeing. Ask questions. How is life at home? Are you happy? Sometimes it can be very simple. It doesn't have to be straight to the point. It can just be very broad sometimes.
Well, do you feel safe?
Do you all your children feel safe at home?
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times there is children involved.
Yeah.
Not always though. And sometimes it can be small signs. But as I say, if you make note of that, this can add up to form a big picture of this person's circumstances. And as health professionals, you're in a perfect position to see the public, to see these people, to see a lot more of the people that can be affected. And at times you can be the only person that a victim is able to gain access to. For somebody to actually talk to, try and get the family members and the... partners or whoever out of the room so you can ask these questions. Yes, please don't ask these questions in front of the partner, and don't assume just because it's their own family members, their mother or something, don't assume they're not involved in the abuse as well, because potentially sometimes they can be.
They could be colluding, couldn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they can be part of it. It can be very a widespread network, because sometimes it may not be direct, it may only be even with the best intentions, but sometimes people are saying, no, don't leave your partner, your partner's rich, what are you doing, look at the size of your house, why would you want to leave this place?
Yeah.
And that's obviously not straight, abusive, but it does make somebody feel, you're right, I've got these material things, how can I give that up? Which, it's not happiness, it's not healthy. And as I say, the earlier a person can access support, and the sooner they can start to understand and learn what's right for them. Because as the NHS and all these health professionals, the higher the risk somebody gets to, the more support they'll need in the long run.
Yeah.
So the sooner we get in there, the support they need won't be as extreme,
right?
For want of a better way of putting it, it won't be, much more around, accident, emergency, and all those kind of not being able to work for such a long period because the emotional impact has got to them, so they can't work for so long, and we get in there before it escalates. And as I say, a victim won't necessarily come to see you because of domestic abuse.
No.
They probably won't even use that word. They may come to you with ailments, illness, aches, pains, whatever. It can be anything and everything. And as I say, they won't generally identify themselves as a victim. They won't use that word more often than not. And as I say, they probably will never use that word. And they'll minimise sometimes the abuse, even if they are recognising that it is abuse. You know, oh, well, I was just pushed, or it doesn't really hurt, or, you know, well, I'm just clumsy. You know, you'll hear sometimes. Or when they start to talk about it, they may say, well, they didn't really mean it anyway, and I know they're genuinely sorry.
It was my fault.
Yeah, yeah, I know, you know, I know what takes them off, and I did it, you know, is something I did. I'm responsible for their anger. No one else knows them like I do. All the things that we'll hear. And be aware and act on your suspicions if you feel something's not right. And one thing that's imperative, don't just tell a victim to leave. Don't just say, well, just leave, or anything like that. The highest risk to a victim of domestic abuse, of homicide or significant harm, is when they try and leave. It has to be, potentially, it has to be a very slow process. We can't just go, right, they go now. It's because the impact and their safety is paramount. And
so it needs to be planned.
Yeah.
And there are people out there who will help them to
absolutely
plan that.
Yeah. I mean, the domestic abuse services, they can support people in getting into a refuge, working out when the best and safest time can be for them to leave, rather than just jump and go, because we don't know the level of control they're having or what the ways that this person is monitoring them is. Because, you know, if they're being tracked, monitored on their phones or on their cars, wherever they run, they're going to be found, and that can put them at further risk.
Okay, thanks very much. What are the reasons that someone may enter or stay in an abusive relationship? You've kind of touched on this a little bit.
Yeah, we spoke about it a little bit.
Maybe just a few more pointers that you want to talk on that?
Because we speak to a lot of people in a relationship, and as we say, you know, they've known emotional relationships, it's all they've known since they were a child, and they met their partner when they were young, and they don't know what it means to be in a care relationship, or they don't understand what it means, or what it means to be kind without somebody having an ulterior motive. And sometimes it can even make them feel uncomfortable if somebody doesn't have an ulterior motive. You know, they're just being kind for the sake of being kind. And on average, somebody will try and leave a relationship 7 times before they leave for good, and they'll experience 35 to 50, which is a huge number of abusive incidents before they do seek help.
Wow.
And they can experience these threats, not just themselves or family members or their pets, if they do try and leave.
Right.
A victim and others are at the highest risk, as I say, when they try and leave. So sometimes they will just go back for a quiet life, or because they're worried about what will happen, because sometimes the perpetrator will say, you know, that they are responsible for what's happening. You know, it's their fault. You know, don't break our family up. You know, and blackmail can be a factor in all those other things.
Yeah. Okay. What should I do if I'm worried or know someone who is experiencing domestic abuse? Because it may well be a patient or a colleague, or friend or family member.
If you're worried about someone, you know, there is the Safe Lives risk assessment, that you can assess the risk that somebody's experiencing. You can be talk to your safeguarding team. You know, you can refer them to appropriate services. If you do have concerns, you know, you can call the Domestic Abuse Helpline on 08000 198 668. The patient can call that themselves if they'd like, if there is no immediate concerns. And as I say, make a record of any decisions made. Don't keep these concerns yourself or carry it with you. You don't need to bear these concerns, or, you know, that you have for someone else with you, because it's very draining, and obviously it's putting the victim and the perpetrator and other family members at higher risk of other harm.
All right. So what happens when I make a referral? Do I need to let the person I'm referring know that I'm making the referral?
If it's high risk, no. You don't have to have consent if it's high risk. It doesn't happen as often as you think. More often than not, they do give consent in the work I've done. But no, you don't have to wait until they say yes, give you the all clear. So you can talk to them about it, as I say, but And once the, if it is going to MARAC and the IDVA, which is, you know, the High Risk Supports Network and the Multi-Agency Risk Assessment.
What does IDVA stand for?
Independent Domestic Violence Advisor.
Okay.
They are people that specifically work with high risk victims, and they get in touch with somebody within 48 hours once a referral is done, and they attend the MARAC, which is the Multi-Agency Risk Assessment Conference.
Okay, right.
On behalf of the victim, and that's about the support and reducing that risk.
Yeah.
Not necessarily about having them leave that relationship, because sometimes they don't want to, and that's entirely
all right. So
them.
They can get support staying in the relationship as well.
Absolutely,
that's good.
Yeah. Because more often than not, they don't want to leave.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to force them, because that'll be control as well.
Okay, so it's important for people to know that then, that they can get support even if they're not leaving the relationship, but they don't want to leave.
Absolutely,
that's good.
Yeah.
How can I find out more then about domestic abuse? Where can I go to get more information?
As I say, you can you or the victim can call the Domestic Abuse Helpline on 08000 198 668. You can speak to your organisation or trust safeguarding leads, or you can contact the CCG to get more details. You can even, you know, as I say, I work and my agency work with running training sessions around the county, not Derby City, unfortunately.
Right, just Derbyshire, yeah.
So you could attend one of our sessions on domestic abuse, learning more about the knowledge of signs and symptoms and how to assess the risk and refer them effectively. And you can call our agency for more information on 01246 540 464, or you can email on health.trainer@ddvsas.org.uk.
That's great. And also, you can use our safeguarding app. We've got our adult safeguarding app. So if you want to get that, you can go to your iTunes or Android apps and just download it for free. It's Safeguarding Adults Derbyshire. That's all you need to type in. And on there, there is a section on domestic abuse.
Yeah.
And some of the stuff and the numbers that you've been mentioned there are actually included on the app.
So
people can pick those up again as well.
Yeah.
Definitely. Thanks very much, Warren. That's
You're
been really, really useful. And hopefully that's been helpful to the listener as well.
I certainly hope so.
Thanks very much.
Welcome.